Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive, celebrating 25 years. Our friends at Curio Wellness still dealing, even despite the 0-2 deficit, dealing these really sharp-looking Baltimore shirts over at the dispensary at the Far and Dotter on York Road. Get over there and say hello to them. They're celebrating 25 years. Also, a cannabis education piece coming your way this week. Lots of things coming your way this week, including the Maryland Crab Cake Tour on Friday for my 55th birthday, which is Saturday. Hopefully the Orioles are still playing on Saturday. That's the only option we would have at this point. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We'll be giving away these Raven scratch-offs. It's just a huge week around here. Our friends at Window Nation, as well as our friends at Jiffy Lube, are making the Crab Cake Tour happen on Friday. Now, on Sunday, I will be at Hollywood Casino in Perryville for breakfast. There's a $30 brunch deal that puts you into a bunch of play. You can win a lot of money. All that's available, but it just come as you are. Family-oriented in the morning. There's a beautiful sports bar, restaurant, salmon BLT. They're putting out eggs and bacon. They're doing it all on Sunday morning. So I'll be there all morning. Free copy of Purple Rain 2 to anybody that shows up. And I'm just going to hang out and watch football with folks for the first time since last year. I hope it goes better than Lamar throwing the pick against the Giants last year, where I watched that up at the Hollywood Casino when it first opened. Luke Jones joins us now. He and I will be in Arlington, Texas this week because the Orioles are there and because Kyle Gibson's going to pitch. And I guess Dean Kramer, we hope they both pitch. We hope we survive. We hope we get to Drug City on Friday for my birthday and have a game on Friday night. Luke, I mean, I need a towel for everything that happened on Sunday, right? Let alone Saturday and Billy Joel and Stevie Nicks and the traffic and all that happened. But we're going to do plenty more Orioles. You know, there's plenty of Orioles to do. Like I said, you and I are going to wake up in Texas. That's how bad things are this week. By the way, Brian Rousham, our former dude, lives in Dallas. So if you see a picture where either his head's cut off or my body, one or the other, because he's 6'11", we are going to be barbecuing with Brian Rousham in Dallas. I'm excited about that. But, you know, in a flat universe, Luke, I mean, honestly, no plague, no Chad Steele, things were normal. I'd be in London this week, right? Like, you know, I mean, like, I would have been in Pittsburgh Sunday eating Mr. Rooney's cookies, and you would have been at Camden Yards, and I would have been driving back down that mountain alone through Breezewood saying, what the hell happened out on the field on Sunday? And I know you were sort of monitoring it in such a strange way on your laptop in the press box at Oriole Park. Joe Enoch's running around trying to figure out if my Nest is open down at the convention center. Everybody who was at the game was trying to monitor the Ravens game. So maybe you could at least paint the picture for me for where you were at 1 o'clock and where you were at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, well, I was in front of my laptop in the press box at Camden Yards, as you mentioned. I thought, and I have no idea of knowing this for sure, but it felt like Sunday's crowd at the ballpark was a little more late arriving. Not that they weren't there for first pitch, but a little more late arriving in terms of the gates open, what, two and a half hours before first pitch. Felt like there were more people probably watching the game at some of the establishments around the ballpark, whatever, watching the Ravens. So
the Orioles had the game on in the ballpark, right?
No, they didn't do that.
You're kidding me.
What? Why are you shocked by that?
No, dude, at 3:15, if I'm walking through the alcove buying $14 beers, you don't have the Ravens game on for me?
Okay, but here's the opposite of that. You're going to have to go into all your pregame stuff that every team has to do, and Major League Baseball requires it. So you're going to turn the game off with 8 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, and you're going to tick everyone off that's sitting there. I mean, come on, man. You know that. I hear you.
I'm just thinking, like that sports bar they have out in center field where they threw Rick Dempsey out.
Okay, well,
to do gambling. I mean, I'm just thinking if I got into the ballpark, my assumption would be if I walked into the ballpark at 1:45, literally, you would not have the game for me. That I'd have to find it on my phone in a bad way. I mean, we got plenty of things we could talk about.
Sure.
I did think about 50,000 people looking for the football game. I just thought, like,
yeah,
the baseball team would at least, it would be on every fifth television where you could at least gather quiet. We're going to hear Ben McDonald. We're going to hear Matt. We should. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But if you paid to get into the game, God forbid, I couldn't. I guess with your phone, they figure, screw you. You put it on your phone, right? I mean, right?
I mean, look, I didn't walk all around the – I didn't go out to the center field bar and to know if it was on the TVs an hour and a half before
the game.
It
wasn't on in the press box, though.
No, and it wasn't on the big video board. And I'm laying out the scenario why I wouldn't put it on the big video board, because you're gonna have to try, because inevitably you have to go into your, and I'm not talking about the pregame show. I'm talking about the PA announcer going through all the rules in the ballpark, watch out for batted balls, and all the different stuff that every
Fine,
single
imprisonment, or both if you're
the
wearing your
point the
virginity
point
rocks
is,
pants.
but my point is the game went up right, the Ravens game went up right against first pitch. You'd have to turn that off in the fourth quarter, and I don't know. I mean,
When did Brandon Hyde do his scrum? Was that in the first quarter?
that was at 12:50, so I went down for that, and then I got back and right back to my seat in the press box for.
Well, I mean, I saw you tweeting one direction. I'm tweeting the other direction. I'm
Yeah.
watching them both on TV, which is just weird as hell for the 15-year-old kid in me, but much better from a providing. I'm better on the radio today because I didn't go to either one. I mean, I'll be honest with you because I watched them both hardcore. And let's get to the game. I mean,
Sure.
I experientially, I did want to hear your experience because I think everybody's experience of the weekend, whether you were like me and watched the game on TV Saturday late, got a free ticket to Billy Joel from Leonard Raskin and ran down and parked at Mercy and walked a mile and a half. Like everybody had an experience this
Sure.
weekend with all of this, and everyone watched the games, right? Like, or tried like hell. You might not have seen Lamar throw the pick because you were in line trying to get in the stadium, or you were on the phone, or you remember where you were when Lamar threw the pick. You'll remember where you were when they lost to the Steelers in Pittsburgh.
Well, what I'll really remember, and look, we'll get to Lamar Jackson, we'll get to the defense in the fourth quarter, because that was the end of the sequence of events. What we saw for most of the game on Sunday was a Lamar Jackson that played pretty darn well, actually, and a defense that played lights out until the fourth quarter. And then the sequence of events led to Lamar with a horrible pick, and the defense gave up a 40-yard touch. Marlon Humphrey gives up a 40-yard touchdown with less than 2 minutes to go. But what I will really take away is a collection of pass catchers, wait, pass catchers, as I use air quotes, who didn't catch a football. And an offense that kept self-destructing and making mistakes and squandering opportunities. And this was a football team that should have been up by two or three scores at halftime. And this was not, people will look at the final score who didn't watch the game. And I saw lots of national pundits saying this on Twitter and people saying this on various social media channels. This was not a classic Ravens Steelers game in the way that you kind of typically think of the glory days of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and Troy Polamalu, and go down the list of all those different guys where hard-hitting, great defense on both sides. Look, Pittsburgh's defense played better later in the game, but that first half was not Pittsburgh's defense. That was the Ravens' offense shooting itself in the foot repeatedly. This was a team that squandered opportunity after opportunity. They had a goal to go in which, Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman drop passes on back-to-back plays, and they have to settle for a field goal. They have the end of the first half situation where I could understand trying to be aggressive if Pittsburgh was moving the ball up and down the field on you, but they try to get cute on fourth down. Tyler Linderbaum snaps the ball when he shouldn't have, and they throw an incomplete pass, and they get nothing at the end of the first half, rather than 3 points. That would have been, hey, nice to have in a really close game, as it turned out in the fourth quarter. So just, I think what's so disconcerting for me, what's so disappointing about, I don't even want to say disappointing, because I reserve that word for the Orioles more so. Look, the Orioles going up against another really good team. The Texas Rangers are good. The Rangers are better than them in game one and two. That's simple. I don't think the Steelers were better than the Ravens in the sense of I think they're a better football team. No, I don't think the Steelers are very good. Maybe they will be later in the year, but I was not remotely impressed. My goodness, they were booing the Steelers offense in the stadium formerly known as
No, I
Heinz
haven't seen
Field.
a whole lot of that. And again, that's something that, Chad Steele aside, I would have liked to have witnessed or seen. You know what I mean? I've seen that happen in Kansas City. I see that happen in Cleveland. 8 out of 10 times I've been there, the crowd turns on the team. Don't see that happen too much in our stadium, and we've been pretty good. They haven't stunk at home for long stretches. We haven't been 3-14. We haven't been disappointing, but neither have the Steelers, right? Very much like the Ravens. Same coach, same structure, same quarterback for a long time. Same, 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 same. But the same is double-digit victories three out of every 4 years, you know, enough to keep coaches around for five times longer than any coach stays anywhere else, right? And part of that is the fans don't turn on you.
Yeah.
You know, so like in Pittsburgh, fans turning on Matt Canada, which means they're turning on Mike Tomlin and they're turning on their hometown quarterback, and it's week friggin' four, you know what I mean? Like what? You know, you got to be kidding me. Just to witness that. And I don't know if you had to sound up as much because you're watching the game and the Orioles are going on and whatever. It was all that. And I love Ian Eagle. I think Ian Eagle, I have him on the show. Like, what I think Ian Eagle did everything he could do to not talk about what was going on in the stadium, because you could hear the chants continue. And I never, and I'm like, what are they chanting? I knew it was something about Canada or fire Tomlin. I didn't know what the chant was. I had to go out to Twitter to kind of figure it out a little bit, but I've not seen blood in the water in Pittsburgh like that, with the fans getting down on the home team in the first and second quarter. You and I have had a lot of cookies with Mr. Rooney up there and Charlie Batch up in the press box. We know that road. We've done it. We've done it every year together. It's the first time WNSD hasn't had a representative in a Pittsburgh press box for a football game in the 25 years. So I know every part of that experience, but I don't know that experience where like the fans are beating up the Steelers like that early on. I mean, everything about it felt like third road win, go to London feeling nice about yourself. All of that, and instead, I mean, it's like I said to you from the beginning, baseball will rule the week. If the Orioles can somehow get back here Friday, they somehow just get to Wednesday, nobody's going to be PUing John Harbaugh today so much. I mean, even over at the Fan, what do we talk about, this or that? Neither one are real good, but the Ravens are going to get off the hook for this a little bit this week. You were going to beat them up a little bit. We're going to be down in Texas eating barbecue and worried about Kyle Gibson before it's all over with. But this was hideous. Hey, yeah. Dude, you and I getting in the car together after this at 7:15 and getting home at 1 o'clock in the morning, Monday morning. After that, if there were no Orioles that existed, that unto itself is a purple tragedy in Pittsburgh on Sunday. It was awful.
I think, and I said this in our previous Orioles segment, the word I would use for the Orioles this weekend was disappointment. The word I would use for the Ravens on Sunday was disgust, because, I mean, that was, think of any expletive you want to use to describe what happened, especially through the first three quarters, let's say. And then in the fourth quarter, to their credit, Pittsburgh made some plays, and the Ravens didn't make plays. They made plays to hurt themselves. But the first three quarters of that football game, the Ravens, to me, clearly looked like the better football team in terms of being able to move the ball, in terms of their defense not allowing a Matt Canada offense to move the ball really at all, save for a couple plays here and there. Pittsburgh would get moving, and then they do something to self-destruct, or Kenny Pickett throw the ball 4 yards behind the line of scrimmage or what have you. The point was, that should have been way more than a 10-3 lead at halftime. I mean, I don't know how anyone watches that football game and says, yeah, that looked like a one-score game at halftime. No, it looked like the Ravens should have been up by two or three scores. I mean, that game could have been 21-3 at halftime, and you could have been talking about maybe Tyler Huntley playing in the fourth quarter. I mean, that's how lopsided that felt for most of the first half. But you drop passes in the end zone and you get too cute late in the first half, and your center snaps the ball when he shouldn't, and you don't get any points out of that situation. I mean, they did things in the same way we talked about the Indianapolis game a couple weeks ago. They did things over and over and over to leave the Steelers in the game. And then eventually Pittsburgh was able to rise to the occasion just enough to get it done. So
It's players like T.J. Watt that do it, right? And well, blocking a punt. And, you know, the attention, the details that with the game on the line, Pickett didn't waste the game. I mean, he found a way to win.
Sure, sure. Yeah, I mean, right. But it's just, I think what's so unsettling about this, what brings such disgust about this, is we saw this football team lose games like this last year, right? You mentioned the Giants game, just several minutes ago. Look, the Miami game, week two last year. Go down the list. The Buffalo
Before
game where
Lamar
they had
got
a
hurt, because
lead.
once Lamar gets
Oh,
hurt,
right. I'm not even there's no
there,
that
they only really have a
exactly.
10-game season the last 2 years, really.
Sure. Fair enough. Fair enough. But
And they're
we saw
seven and
this.
three or 8-2, and we're like, yeah, good. And who they beat? I mean, the
Oh, I
Colts, the Steelers. I mean, these bad teams this year. These are bad teams.
well, I don't want to get too much into because every team play you play the games on your schedule, right? I mean, you just do. But we saw them do this last year. You know, there were times where, you know, they would look really good, or they would do, you know, they'd be moving the ball, they'd be playing good defense, whatever it is, and then something goes awry. And in the case of Sunday's game, just had the drops. I mean, they hadn't had that many issues dropping the football the first four games of the season. For all their inconsistency on offense, it wasn't as though we were seeing Zay Flowers and Mark Andrews and Rashad Bateman and company drop a bunch of passes. You know, Aguilar drops a gorgeous throw from Lamar Jackson that should have been a touchdown. So it's not as though we saw a ton of that, but we did on Sunday. And my goodness, it was absolutely critical. And then, you know, Justice Hill puts the ball on the turf. That's something that he's had some issues with. That, you know, and you know, I've sang the praises of Justice Hill. I think he's someone who can help them. And you see, he gives them some juice. But two knocks on him have been he's had some injury issues. And every time that they've gotten to a point in his career where maybe they're ready to turn to him, he gets hurt. And he's also had some times where he's put the football on the ground. And we saw that on Sunday. So they just had so many squandered opportunities. And then you get to the fourth quarter and the sequence of events, you know. I've heard so many head coaches, so many managers talk about this. You know, Wink Martindale used to talk about this a lot, talking about defensive football, that the mark of a good team or a good defense or a good offense or good quarterback, you know, whatever, whoever you want to talk about, is how do you handle the sequence of events? And I think what's so disappointing for me, what's so unsettling, you know, what brought disgust, quite frankly, on Sunday watching that is how this team crumbled in crunch time, kind of across the board. I mean, really. So, you know, the special teams, they had a punt blocked. You know, we've seen the special teams be uncharacteristically poor for compared to what you typically expect out of a John Harbaugh team. Not across the board, but the punt team specifically has had its issues. And, you know, as much as Jordan Stout will boom some, he can be inconsistent at times. Their punt coverage has been poor, as we've seen them give up some returns and they get one blocked. They did every phase came up small at the end of the game. And that's where I will come back now to Lamar Jackson, who played a way better game than what the first three quarters indicated statistically. I mean, this is a guy who should have had multiple touchdown passes, beautiful throws right into his receiver's hands that they dropped. I mean, you can't put that on Lamar Jackson. What, you know, go back to the famous, what, Giselle talking about Tom Brady. What do you want him to do? Throw it and catch it too?
Like
You know,
Snoopy. Playing ping pong.
Right, exactly. So you had that. You had a defense that played lights out until the very end, but then in crunch time, when you need someone to make a play, one person to make a play on one, you know, one phase of the game, and everyone comes up small in the last several minutes of that football game, and that's what's so, you know, just disappointing is not the right word because I was angry watching that football game because it was, again, this was not a classic. Oh, wow, these two great rivals and they're such great teams and all this. No, this was the Ravens shooting themselves in the foot, and eventually the Steelers mustered enough offense to be able to win the football game. But, you know, again, Lamar Jackson, terrible interception at the end, and the defense, which, again, if you're asking me to divide up the blame, my goodness, they get a very small portion, but still, they gave up a 41-yard touchdown with a little over a minute to go. I mean, that's not. John Harbaugh loves to talk in these terms of we played winning football. You know, he didn't say that Sunday, but that's what he likes to say when they win football games, even if it's not statistically the most impressive. He says we played winning football. We did what it took to win the game. That was the opposite of winning football, especially on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, you can't have wide receivers and tight ends dropping passes to that degree. I mean, they completely squandered opportunities to be up three touchdowns if they wanted to, at least say 17 points. And You can't have a punt blocked in the fourth quarter. And, even if you're the defense as well as they played, and again, I don't want to pick on them too much, but give up a 41-yard touchdown with a minute 17 to go. I mean, you got to
Apparently,
finish.
Marlon Humphrey met with the media after the game, so at least I applaud him for
He,
that, you know.
right. He did. And that, by the way, that's something we didn't even mention. And I tweet, this is one of my few pregame tweets because, I sent out the inactives on the WNST text service sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. But, they got Marlon Humphrey back. They had Ronnie Stanley back on the field. They had Marcus Williams back on the field. They had Beckham. They had Rashad Bateman. And, you look at their inactives list. Okay. Not having Morgan Moses hurt, but, you still
This
have
should have been
Patrick.
the best version of them, right? In
Sure,
Pittsburgh,
since week
right?
one, since week
Yeah.
one, absolutely. And I mean, what was that? I mean, really, what was that? So that's not to say that there's this panic moving forward, but I continue to look at this football team, and this goes back to last year even, that I'm very underwhelmed by their ability to finish football games. I mean, I just am. And I think I'm going to throw a word out here that's probably going to hurt some feelings, if members of the organization are listening. I think this team lacks some late game toughness, quite frankly. And when I say that, I don't mean, oh, they don't want to hit or they don't want to tackle. I think this team has struggled, and we saw this last year a bunch. I think they have struggled to handle the moment when things kind of start going sideways or things start going wrong. I see a team that really has a tough time getting itself back together and regrouping and being able to compartmentalize and say, okay, forget about that.
Well, you
We're
got
at
a
this moment in
quarterback
the
that
game.
pounds the ground, comes off, throws helmets. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I see that demeanor. I see, and I don't think that's good. And I sat here and defended Joe Flacco for a decade because he didn't do that. And my friends in Dundalk and Essex wanted that. They wanted, I want to see him pissed and angry. Well, I mean, I want to see him composed. And the anger of Lamar, if that leads to him throwing the late, being the hero at the end of the game. Where he's been the hero, but the hero usually gets in the phone booth and runs the football. That's who the hero is. It's not leading a 90-yard drive down the field and throwing the game winning. I mean, in too many cases in recent sample, it's throwing the pick in the end zone and like trusting that decision making when things are breaking down at the red zone. I like his legs better than I like his arm in that situation.
Fair enough. As I said, they should have never even been in that spot, right?
No
Because
doubt about
if
it.
you have receivers catching the ball, they have 24 or 27 points on the board, and Pittsburgh sure as heck isn't coming back from that deficit with that offense. Because you mentioned Matt Canada. I mean, calls to fire him are legitimate at this point because it's been 3 years of their offense looking like garbage more often than not. And when they win football games, it's typically because of their defense. I mean, go check out Warren Sharp's stuff. Go check out some of the breakdowns of where Pittsburgh has been as a football team. If their defense doesn't play great, they don't have a shot because their offense has been lousy for the better part of 3 years now. But that aside, bringing it back to the fourth quarter, this is why I said it's a sequence of events. It's a 60-minute football game. And that's where it's so disappointing, so deflating to see this team not handle the big moments. Because even with all those mistakes to that point, they had the ball. Pittsburgh fumbles the punt return, and you have a situ an opportunity right there to score a touchdown to go up by two scores, or at the very least, you kick a field goal and you make it where Pittsburgh has to score a touchdown then. And you can't throw a pick there. I mean, you just can't. Again, God bless how Lamar played over the first 3.5 quarters. It was criminal that he didn't have two or three touchdowns sitting on his stat line because of the way his receivers let him down. But that doesn't just absolve you from what happens the rest of the football game. And he threw an awful interception in a bad spot. Defense was outstanding for 3.5 quarters. Outstanding. And again, I understand you can't expect them to be great for a full 60 minutes, but you were still in a position where you still had a lead. You were up 10-8 with under 2 minutes to go. And can you make one play? Can you force a turnover? Can you get a strip sack? Can you pick off Kenny Pickett, who's going to have to take some chances? They gave up the touchdown. So that doesn't mean the defense was bad overall. Of course it wasn't. They gave up, the Ravens gave up 17 points, and it wasn't the defense that did all of that because, there were some short fields and what have you there. But, Lamar Jackson, again, I would say in its totality, he played a good football game overall if we're grading him on the full 60 minutes.
But we also understand that the final 7.5 minutes is where any team really makes its money. Quarterback, head coach, offense, defense, special teams, whatever. That's crunch time. He failed in that period of the game. So that's where you just look at this team in its totality right now. And having done this now twice in 3 weeks, and I think, Nestor, it hurts a little more from a fan perspective when it comes against Pittsburgh and Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. Two teams that no one in Baltimore wants to lose to. So, you know, it's something they did too much last year, too. We saw this in the Giants game. We saw them come up small against Buffalo. Certainly in Miami, it wasn't the offense as much, but the defense completely collapsed in that week two game against Miami. We saw Jacksonville, you know, the defense later in the year. This was when they had Roquan Smith and the defense was playing better overall. The defense wilted in the fourth quarter against the Jaguars on the road. So, look, I'm not saying this to spell out that they should be, that they go 17-0 or 15-2 or anything like that, but we're seeing this team. It happened last year and we're now seeing it again. They are struggling to finish off football games. And that's not what you want from, this is not a particularly young team anymore. In 2019, they were young, right? You had a 21-year-old quarterback who was unanimous MVP. You had all these Pro Bowl players in their, first, second, third year, let's say. But this is a team that should have a little more veteran experience in that regard right now. And, we'll get to January legacies because, it's October, but that's still a far ways away. But these types of things shouldn't be happening from a veteran football team, in the way that it did on Sunday. So, like I said, the word that Sunday brings for me, having watched that from the press box, and again, I wasn't watching it as closely, as intently as I normally do, full disclosure, but I watched 99% of it, and they didn't play winning football, especially on the offensive side. Again, the defense, other than, late in the game, they played lights out for the most part. So they get a very small portion of the blame, but you can't have your offense squandering those types of opportunities. This is a Pittsburgh defense that, quite frankly, Nestor, had not been very good through the first quarter of the season. They really missed Cam Hayward. He's really, everyone talks about Watt, but I think he's really the guy that I think people in Pittsburgh would say has probably been more of the heart and soul, the glue guy. He's been a great player for a long time, so he's been hurt. They'll be back later in the year. That's the expectation. It's a pedigree on the defensive side. I'll hear you on that when I see Peterson and Minkah Fitzpatrick, who made some mistakes as well. But, they're credible on defense. The offense, that's a whole different story. You get them down and get them behind. The notion that he could throw the ball, that Pickett could throw the ball over your head to beat you at the end, I didn't feel that way for 2 hours and 45 minutes. I just thought that wasn't even possible.
Right, and this is where I'll stick up for the defense after I just said, hey, you had a chance to finish the game and you did it. You failed in that final segment, that final quadrant of the game, however you want to slice it up. But it should have never been in that. It should have never come to that. It should have never come to Lamar Jackson throwing a pick in the end zone late in the game. It should have never come to Marlon Humphrey getting burned by Pickens for a 41-yard touchdown because of all the failure of the offense to build what should have been a 2 or 3 score lead. It should have been. Things are going to happen. You're going to have on defense, someone's going to fall or someone misses an assignment. Someone has to go out of the game. Someone else comes in and they're not quite sure of their assignment. You're going to give up a play, but they were in that position in the fourth quarter because of failure after failure to catch the football and score touchdowns and build what should have been an insurmountable lead for an offense that is not good. Kenny Pickett has not been good. Matt Canada is not a good offensive coordinator in the NFL. The stats bear that out at this point in 3 years. And Mike Tomlin, he's going to be a Hall of Fame coach most likely and has been there a long time. But, their offense is what it is the last few years. And it's been multiple quarterbacks and different personnel. And it's not good enough. But you do what the Ravens did for three quarters on Sunday. You even give a bad offense a chance to make one play to win a football game, and the Steelers did it. So you credit them, you give them that much credit, but boy, this was absolutely, as it was a couple weeks ago against Indianapolis, and as I put it, the headline at BaltimorePositive.com, the Ravens, They absolutely snatched defeat from the jaws of victory on Sunday. There's no question about that.
He is Luke Jones. You can find him out at Baltimore Luke. You can, I would say, find him out in Owings Mills this week, but he's going to skip Owings Mills this week. He's going to go to Texas with me.
There is no Owings Mills this week.
There is no
They're
Owings
in
Mills.
London. This week. Yeah,
well, right, exactly. So he's going to skip Owings Mills this week. So are the Ravens, by the way. They'll be having tea. T as in Tennessee, T as in Titans. We're going to be at Hollywood Casino on Sunday morning for the Ravens game. Come on up to Perryville. Say hello. It's breakfast time. Wear your purple, maybe some orange. It might be game one of the American League Championship Series. Will be held on Sunday. Whether it be held in Baltimore or not depends on whether the Orioles can win three games. Luke and I will be in Arlington the next at least 36 to 48 to 72 hours. I'll be at Drug City on Friday for the Maryland Crab Cake Tour, presented by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation and Jiffy Lube MultiCare as well. It is our 25th anniversary. At some point, I'm going to get 23 and 22 and 21 up. It's just been so crazy around here. It was a crazy weekend. The Billy Joel, Stevie Nicks concert was great. Thanks to Leonard Raskin from Raskin Global. He had an extra ticket on the, he's twisted my arm. I'm like, Billy Joel, 52 degrees, stop. Had a great time. I'm glad I went. It was the only thing good that happened all weekend. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. Luke and I with more on the Orioles and the Ravens, even if you don't want to hear it, at Baltimore Positive. Stay with us.